Warning, you're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition, a happier, happy hour. Always happiest when you participate. At 844-967-2789. Dom, I hope the voting has not closed yet. Time, Person of the Year will be awarded on Wednesday. They're building up to it. And sadly,
it's even an honor to be considered. Thank you, Mike.
I don't see our name on the list. We're not on the short list, Dom. Who do you think is Time's Person of the Year? Who do you think should be? Dom and Kroot's Person of the Year. Dom,
who well, should Dom and Kroot should be persons oh, of on. The year.
You can't nominate and then vote for yourself and lift. I mean, I know you'd like
allow
to
allow myself to introduce myself.
Easy the over there, Ron Burgundy. You know, let's be serious for half a moment. Who would we think the most influential, most important, most newsworthy person of the year?
I mean, is that what are the okay? Let's you're putting down some criteria. What is Time Magazine's criteria? You know what I'm saying? I mean, the most influential. I mean, or the most famous, or most infamous. You know what I mean? I guess it depends on what we value as person of the year. How you gauge that?
Well, let me give you some historical context, because you're not woke and. Unless until you know history, Dom. The annual honor began in 1927 when Charles Lindbergh received the distinction following his solo nonstop flight across the Atlantic Ocean. Since then, people like Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Nelson Mandela, Pope Francis, and climate activist Greta Thunberg have received the honor along with several world leaders and every president since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, excepting Gerald Ford. Now, Trump was Time's Person of the Year. Was he? I mean, I know he's got the picture in Mar-a-Lago where he put up the fake cover, but I'm not sure. Was he ever Time's Person of the Year?
I don't follow the Time's Person of the Year, but no, I don't think Trump was.
Well, it's
why
not.
Why would he put up the fake ones in his golf course if he were actually the Person of the Year?
Well, he did win the presidency, or at least he became the president, depending on your point of view, Dom. The magazine, talking about Time, has also swerved in the past and awarded concepts like the Silence Breakers, who started the Me Too movement, and You, which recognized the contributions made to the internet. You are nominated, Dom. The Daily News chose the 2006 You selection as one of Time's most controversial. Yeah, I'd say. They put like a reflective thing up, right? Like on the cover of Time, there was like a reflective thing, sort of a mirror-like substance.
Yeah, so the Big Lebowski is in the other like Lebowski's you... office. And he looks at Time Person of the Year, and it's a mirror. So whoever's looking at it, you are the Person of the Year. But no, Trump, no. How about Fonnie Willis? I like Fonnie Willis.
Oh, well, up there. Sort of, kind of. She made the list, Dom, and I could see getting like a... ugly sweater and then like hanging out in front of you, you know, with the reflective sheen on the front.
Yes. Gotcha.
Hollywood Strikers, members of the WGA and SAG-AFTRA, upended TV and film during the lengthy strikes, which aimed to change the entertainment industry's future. The writers have already signed their new contract, while actors and studios have a tentative agreement in place. So they're on the short list.
Oh, I got. If that's the case, then how about UAW President Sean Fain?
I will fight you.
I mean, talk about literally. Well, that was a different guy.
That's the Teamsters guy, right?
Yeah, right. But look at what they've done. I mean, they won a strike. They impacted the business. They got their employees paid, and they lifted up the entire sector. All of a sudden, Toyota and Tesla are starting to pay a little more.
Hardly the star that came to Lambeau Field last night, Dom. And I don't mean Simone Biles. Taylor Swift! You know, there were a lot of Swifties in town last night. Whether she made headlines for a record-breaking Eras tour, or for becoming a billionaire, or for a romance with Kansas City Chiefs star Travis Kelce, 2023 was arguably the year of Taylor Swift. That would argue for
that, man. She's rolling.
Xi Jinping. Chinese President Xi Jinping is one of the most influential figures in the world and has been a contender for Person of the Year in the past. What's he got to invade Taiwan to make it on the cover of a magazine, Tom?
Come on, man.
What about the Sam Altman guy, the AI guy? He's on the list as well. Talking about a guy who's got a lot of power down at the office. Didn't they push him out? Didn't the board of directors push this guy out? And like the whole company quit and said, if he's gone, we're gone. And then suddenly, like 3 days later, he's the CEO again. I wish I had that sort of loyalty. In a year when artificial intelligence rammed its way into the mainstream, CEO Sam Altman is a person who will dictate how AI changes the tech industry. What about Barbie? You're a Barbie girl, Dom.
I haven't seen the movie yet.
Barbie, the iconic doll, was the subject of one of the highest grossing films of the year, with the theater going experience becoming a full-on pink tinge phenomenon. It's like when the Devil's Advocates go out in public.
I don't wear pink.
And the Trump prosecutors. I would throw Fannie Willis in
there. All right. I'll take it.
Former President Donald Trump is running for re-election while facing almost 100 charges in 4 separate unprecedented cases in New York, Georgia, Florida, and D.C. Georgia. Fannie Willis, Georgia. Perhaps the most courageous of all the prosecutors seeking to bring Trump to justice, let's just say. And King Charles III, Vladimir Putin? Nah. Absolutely not. What about Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, Dom? Nice. He's on the list. Oh, what'd he do? Wreck mortgage rates?
Well, I mean, he's trying to give us a soft landing, man. You know, I mean, I don't want to vote on that quite yet. We still got a ways to go. We'll see how all that pans out. But what about, like, come on, George Santos? Let's look at some folks that have, like, really, you know, shifted the gears.
Someone colorful.
I mean, talk about fabulous. This guy broke all the rules in all the wrong/right ways, man.
Well, okay, so maybe he should be on TLC, Dom, but George Santos, really? His whole claim to fame is dishonoring the Congress, stealing from people, and lying. Is this something we aspire to these days, Dom? Not around here, I would hope.
I'm sorry. Also on this list is Putin. I mean, it seems like the bar is pretty, you know, low, and you know, the influence could be up in the air, man.
Putin invaded a foreign country. What country is George Santos invaded?
My point being, of course, Santos did bad things. Putin did bad things. Now, Putin did more bad things, but Santos did bad things. So if to the degree that Putin did all these terrible things and he's nominated potentially for Person of the Year, well, certainly George Santos should at least have an honorable mention.
Can't believe you're bringing George Santos to this conversation right now. 844-967-2789. You embarrass yourself and the panel.
You're bringing Barbie to it, man. What are you talking about?
She's got more structural integrity than George Santos ever did.
She's a fictional character.
So is he. Dynamo Dave, how you doing, man?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
Happy Monday.
Hey, two things. The Republicans seem to be engaged in weapons of mass distraction, one being the whole Hunter Biden thing, trying to link that back with Biden But do you think that George Santos was actually kind of some sort of weird plant that they got in Congress to distract everybody from Trump stuff? Because he certainly did. He had the headlines over and over for various times.
I think he was a lone wolf Manchurian candidate. He was following his own heart and passions, Dynamo Dave.
Beating his own path, Dave.
But he's following the example of Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene and all the outrage machines of the right. It so clearly works, and they're not necessarily popular politicians, but once they get in, it makes them famouser. They get plenty of play on Fox News. Hell, his last official act as congressman, George Santos, going on Fox News, Dynamo Dave.
No kid. See, there you go. Another weapon of mass distraction, and Boebert and that other woman. Another question. You know, you mentioned last winter that that buzzing station up in, I believe it was Ashland, Wisconsin, was going to flip over to Progressive Talk once the transmitter got beefed up or whatever.
1260 AM out of Amory points due north from Amory, Wisconsin, towards Duluth, Minnesota. That would be one of the potential signals, 1260 AM. And then during the daytime, Dynamo Dave, 910 AM WBZH out of Hayward, Wisconsin. The buzz of the north, man, might be buzzing you all the way to Duluth. But if it doesn't work out as such, 910 AM or the 1260 AM, then, you know, call the engineering squad because, you know, I just work here, man. But we would hope. The circles on the map suggest that they would cast as far as Duluth, Minnesota.
Great. Thank you for that info.
Yeah, man, I'm full of info and all kinds of stuff, Dave.
Man of the year. Thanks for the call, Dave. 844-967-2789. We got some callers holding. Be patient. I want to give you ample time to throw out perhaps your person of the year, George Santos. Huh? I mean, why not George Santos or the Devil's Advocates? I mean, or the audience of the Devil's Advocates.
You
nominate all of you. You
are the person of the year.
Yes.
If you call us. But then we got to find guest Joe Parisi. Perhaps he's a nominee for Time's Person of the Year. Outgoing Dane County executive. He has laid down the law in regards to Twitter usage by county government. And, of course, the right's losing their mind. They're claiming this is an attack on free speech. And I may have overconflated. The Dane County Airport has not yet deleted their account. They've just stopped utilizing the account. Why? We'll ask Dane County Executive Joe Parisi next. More Devil's Advocates. Happy Monday, happier, happy hour.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always listen to the Devil's Advocates wherever you go on the free Civic Media app. Search for the station, hit the call or text buttons, interact with the show. Look for it on your Google Play or App Store.
Dominic, we welcome back. Fine guest right now live via phone. He is my county executive, Dane County Executive, Joe Parisi, outgoing. Joe, welcome back to the Devils.
Hey, Joe.
How you doing? Good to hear from you. Hi there, Dom.
Excellent, sir. Joe, let me ask you, you've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir? Does that mean, first and foremost, I overconflated. I said the airport's deleting their account. No one had to delete their account, right? Their historical tweets can remain in perpetuity, but the current tweeting must cease starting when, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, we'll archive all the information, but as of January 1st, Dane County agencies will no longer be using X/Twitter moving forward.
And Joe begs the question, why?
Well, you know, it's probably fairly obvious to a lot of people. I mean, it's on a number of levels, right? I mean, we've certainly seen Twitter/X become a platform that is more and more just a concentration and amplification of hate and hate speech and much negativity. And that's something that really reflects most of the values of most of Dane County, and not something that I feel is necessarily appropriate for county government to be using as a platform. You know, anyone who wants can obviously use X/Twitter, but you know, when you have a platform like that, that has so many negatives, you know, associated with it, I don't know that we need to be associated with it or we need to be driving traffic to it moving forward.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocate, Joe Parisi, Dane County Executive. So, Joe, I mean, I get it. Certainly, it's gone through some changes here of late. But you know, one of the nice things about it is you sign up for it. You can, you know, get the tweets. You can get the updates from the county. Are there other platforms that you're going to emphasize, or and is there a formula that you'll use to determine whether or not you're going to use, you know, some of these other platforms out there? Are you still on Facebook?
Yeah, folks. Yeah, folks still use Facebook and Instagram and platforms like that. There are a lot of ways to get information in this day and age. I mean, obviously, if anything, sometimes there are too many sources of information coming at you. And when it has to do with updates, certainly like in an emergency situation, we have reverse 911. People can sign up for alerts. We have the news media. There are lots of ways of getting information out. So when we look at when we're going to, you know, whether it's a good idea to continue using something like this, I mean, backing up, first of all, you know, social media just kind of happened to all of us, right? It wasn't this big conscious decision that this platform is going to exist. This is what it's going to look like. We all just have been going along with it, you know, since the technology and the platforms have evolved. And we have a responsibility to look at the subject in its entirety. And when we look at platforms like X/Twitter and what goes on there and the messages they send, at the same time that we're dealing with issues, you know, for example, of dealing with mental health in the community with young people, and we see the negative impacts that social media in general and certainly platforms like this can have on people, I think it's a good idea for us just to all pause and take a deep breath and maybe start taking a little more conscious approach to how we use these different platforms.
In that regard, but I've seen some headlines, I haven't delved into it, but Instagram has been criticized for, you know, having a negative effect on children's mental health. Of course, TikTok out there as well. What would have to happen, mm-hmm. or what's the criteria to determine whether or not Instagram will remain, or is that something that would be potentially, are you on Instagram, I guess would be the first question.
I'm not personally, but county agencies are,
yeah.
You know, yeah, yeah. So, well, I think these are all good questions. You know, I think we need to, as I said, social media just kind of happened to us. It wasn't really entered into consciously. And we're only beginning to understand the impacts, you know, many of them very negative, you know, from, you know, bullying that goes on across all platforms to hate that gets spread to misinformation and really to a general sense of a general lack of civility, right? I mean, it seems like we're in a place in this current time in the world, not just here, not just in the States, but across the world, where people don't talk anymore. People don't work things out. People just scream at each other. And, you know, platforms like X/Twitter really amplify that type of hate. And I think it's important for us to step back and look at this and say, you know, what kind of world do we want, especially when we're looking at the impacts on young people who are growing up with this being really the only reality they've ever known and the detrimental impacts. So, you know, I certainly don't claim to have all the answers, but I do think that we've headed into this rather unconsciously and we're starting to see a lot of negative impacts. And it's time that, you know, like I said, everyone listening, everyone, you know, on the planet has the option of remaining on X/Twitter if they want to. But in the case of county government, I just don't think that the means justifies the ends when it comes down to the cost benefit of using the platform.
Our fine guest, Joe Parisi, Dane County Executive. Well, Joe, you know, some people say, and I mean primarily conservatives that would attack you for this new stance, they say that Joe Parisi is against free speech. Joe, how would you defend yourself against that charge.
Well, people can talk all they want. I'm also, you know, the people saying that are probably like myself, free market capitalists, and I can choose to use a product and choose not to use a product. But, you know, I think equating us using, you know, Twitter with, you know, being pro or anti free speech, I don't see the connection.
Joe, does this end with your reign as county executive, or is this some sort of implementation that would affect future administrations, if you will?
I hope it doesn't end. I mean, you know, any political decision can be turned around by anyone who chooses. But, you know, I think it's a good policy to get off of it. I think a lot of people, including myself, have been thinking about it for a long time and considering it. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, like I said, I can't control what I can't control once I'm no longer county executive. So, you know, if you want to run for county executive, here's your opening. You got your issue.
I got my own problems. Go ahead.
What should people look to then? If people want to find out information specifically, I mean, on a social media platform, what would you recommend people get to?
Well, people are using, a lot of departments are still using Instagram, Facebook. We have county websites for all agencies and departments with a lot of information. If they want emergency information, they can sign up for text alerts and that sort of thing. So a lot of places out there. Listen to your local radio stations, your local news channels.
Yeah.
That's the way to get news out there.
What about Chad Vader? Joe, what about Chad Vader? Will he still retain his Twitter X account?
That's a really good question. He's an independently elected official, so you'd have to ask him.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi, thanks for making a little time for the Devil's Advocates this fine Monday.
Always good to talk to you guys. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. Want to hear from you. Attack on free speech or just Chad Vader. 844-967-2789.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour. Always happy when my county executive, Joe Parisi, comes around. But the sudden shutoff of the Twitter accounts leaves Chad Vader in the lurch, I would guess. He's a good guy, Chad Vader. Better than a brother. You know, he's like the good devil, like me.
I should probably know, but who's Chad Vader?
Chad Vader helped us get out the vote here in Dane County during the pandemic. You know, sort of a clever character. Chad Vader, Darth's brother. Scott McDonald down at the Dane County, the voting office, the clerk's office.
Okay.
They did some clever, fun stuff. And now my county executive and his humorless attempts to stifle free speech.
I don't think that's what
I bet he's banned Chad Vader's account on both Twitter and OnlyFans. 844.
Not OnlyFans.
967-2789. Sean from Waukesha. Welcome, Sean. What do you got for us?
Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I love your show, by the way. Hey, I'm just wanted to talk about the guy that called about moving down to Texas. You know, I was born and raised in Texas, and I hear all the time, like, going to Texas, home of the conservatives and everything else. I just want to remind the calling audience, before you let your children move down there because you're escaping liberalism or whatever it is you want to escape from Wisconsin, right? We love Wisconsin. We're excited to get out of Texas. That most of your farming communities are actually just repackaged liberalism. It's people a long time ago used to vote Democrat, always voted Democrat. And when people in the working class started shifting towards the Republican ticket more and more frequently, all you guys did is kind of pick up and lift over and become, call themselves Republican or apply to a new group versus the Democrat group. They didn't really change in policy or anything else. So when the callers are up there talking about sending their kids down to Texas to produce a better flag or people honor the flag, I've lived in liberal land. I've lived in conservative land, and there ain't no difference, man. These people still honor the flag right there. That's not reason to move your family out of a state and everything else like that. If you disagree with the policy, educate yourself, and learn how to fight the issues that you are passionate about. But don't go out there and sit there and act like Texas is the answer to everything. The only difference in Texas is I can go buy a gun at every drugstore. That's it.
Sean, our friend CG, I think, you know, much like the example of many of the immigrants that come to this country, would help move his family nearly across the country for an opportunity of just a little bit more, right? I mean, don't we all want that for our family? Isn't that part of the American dream? So when he expresses it, when he's saying, God bless Texas, all he's saying is there's opportunity there for my family. But if he was a Mexican coming up in a caravan, he would resent himself for that very same notion.
Yes, that's spot on. You know, you hear about like all these the war taking place on the border and everything else like that in the state of Texas, but no one ever gives any publicity about the immigrants coming across the water and leaving saints at the cattle ranches who are leaving water out and food out for the immigrants coming across the border, right? I mean, this happens more frequently than needing an army sitting up there at the border. Yeah, I mean, these people are not evil people, right? You know, but they're also talking about like Texas is this great place and conservatism. But I just want to remind people that it's still liberalism and every form of definition. It's just they have different beliefs in religion, faith, and gun ownership. But when it comes down to taxes and policy, there is no difference.
Well, Sean, one distinction I would like to draw is the power grid entirely on Greg Abbott and the Republican Party down there. Appreciate
they have
your
own unique way of doing it. Yeah, great call, Sean. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for listening.
844-967-2789. Let's sneak in a few more great calls. Or Nick from Madison. We'll see how you do, Nick. How you been, buddy? Welcome. Happy holidays.
You got me 2 days in a row, and I can see the road now, so that's nice. But, yeah, two things. First, the Chad Vader thing. Did you ever see that YouTube series on that?
Yeah, very clever stuff.
Yeah. Okay, cool, yes. But, yeah, what I would say about the whole Twitter thing, county not using it anymore, who cares? I mean, I can't see how it's not like he's saying employees can't use it on their own. Just, and there's so much social media out there that, I mean, honestly, who cares? I just don't get what the fuss is about.
I don't.
Well, Nick, I
really
guess
think it's a big deal.
Conservatives care. They think it's, you know, some affront to free speech. What's your take on that criticism?
You know, because it's a criticism of Elon Musk, really, Nick. It's really about Elon Musk and his embrace of anti-Semitism.
I know. I got that. And but all he's doing is just not putting county business on there. So. Again, he's not saying that employees can't use it, can't say whatever they want in it, no matter how vile. But it's not impeding anyone's career. It's not stopping anyone from getting county issues. So I just don't see it as a free speech violation at all.
Well, you seem way too reasonable to be a conservative, friend Nick. Where does this reasonableness come from? You must live in Dane County.
I've always been a reasonable conservative. That's the one thing my friends who know I'm conservative, they all tell me that. Well, all my friends here are super progressive, okay? And I like it that way.
Well, that's what they call you as far as you know. Appreciate you calling, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.
844-967-2789. Want to keep getting to the caller, so don't not call. But Dom, I wanted to antagonize you just for a moment. Your favorite righty conservative aggregator Breitbart under attack from Trump. What do you do?
Drudge.
Oh, Drudge. My bad.
Yes.
Breitbart was Bannon, right? But Drudge, Matt Drudge is your guy, the guy with the hat.
Yes. Apparently, Donald Trump not very happy with Drudge these days. Let's see what he has to say. I found it actually at the top, the very top of the DrudgeReport.com. Trump attacks Drudge. He's getting some traffic all this. Here's what Trump tweeted out, or whatever, truthed out. Something happened, but when Drudge went anti-Trump, the site fell apart, very much like Ron DeSantis. It's a new Latin name, perhaps. It happened instantly without notice, but I believe I know the reason why. Drudge had a big moment, but now it's gone, never to resurface again. It's totally irrelevant. That often happens when people cover Trump, in quotes, all caps, unfairly. I love it. I love it. And if you go to Drudge's site, he does put stats on the bottom. Apparently, 23 million people visited his site in the last 24 hours, 652 million in the last month, and 7 billion plus in the last year.
Drudge. That's more traffic than the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page.
I mean, just slightly a little bit more. Slightly more.
Well, if we included callers at 844. 967-2789. That's how I prefer to interact. Dom, you're more of the Twitter X guy on the panel here. If there's a tweeting going on, it's probably Dom. Mark from the SAC, welcome. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, Mark. Yeah, thanks, guys. And I'd like to remind CJ that the first European language that was spoken in Texas and North American continent for that matter, it was Spanish. I mean,
Texas was Mexico. I mean, come on. Yeah. Kevin McCarthy was out there. Well, we never ended a war and kept the land. I'm thinking every time we do that.
And the big bugaboo the Texans had to separate from Mexico is that Mexico was going to ban slavery. I mean, that was one of their gripes about the Mexican government. It's not so much they're so oppressive, it's that they're going to ban slavery. That was the big bugaboo that they had. And the power grid. I'm glad you guys brought that up because Texas has yet to repair their power grid to link it up with the rest of the country. So the next time their power goes down, you know, that God help them down there because people died last time that happened. And that is Greg Abbott through and through on that power grid.
Well, and Ted Cruz and probably CJ will all head to Cancun then when the power grid fails.
Yep.
Any other?
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you for listening. Well,
thanks.
844-967-2789. Dom, can you imagine being a GOP lawmaker and looking forward to Trump? Here comes Trump again. He's wielding power, the chaos, defending his actions. You know, the other Sunday morning specifically, I watched Ron DeSantis on the Kristen Welker on the Meet the Press. And I thought he did a poor job of debating against Gavin Newsom because he wouldn't really debate the topic, sort of a CJ-like character. But then he went on Meet the Press, man, and it was horrible. It was really quite horrible.
Bad. DeSantis.
I mean, this man's a lawyer by trade, a JAG, but he wouldn't answer the questions. We've got some of the sound, don't we? Let's play a little of the sound. Let's give Dom just an earful, since I guarantee he wasn't up Sunday morning watching the Meet the Kristen Welker. If you'd be so kind, let's play it for the people. Let's do the first cut.
Ask you about the GOP front runner. Mr. Trump is campaigning on the idea of retribution. He's promising to jail his political enemies if he's reelected. He's also referred to some of his political opponents as vermin, language that people, frankly, across the political spectrum say harkens back to Nazi Germany. Do you think that kind of language is presidential?
Well, I think even beyond that, the issue is why are you running? Are you running for your personal issues? Are you running for the American people's issues? And I'm running for the American people's issues. And now part of that is this government is out of control. We have seen weaponization of agencies like the DOJ and the FBI and the IRS. I'm going to end that weaponization.
But you didn't exactly answer the question.
Is that language presidential? That's specifically the question.
I think Welker comes back to this a couple times. Do we have more? Let's play more.
Governor, as you know, DOJ officials would reject the idea that it has been weaponized. But let me ask you about my original question, the use of the word vermin.
Kristen,
are you comfortable with that term? But are you comfortable with that term, Governor?
Let me just say on the DOJ, of all, I'm responsible for what I say, and I say things differently. But on the DOJ and the FBI,
on my question, though, Governor.
Excuse me. What I'm not comfortable with is FBI agents going after parents going to school board meetings. I'm not comfortable with DOJ FBI working with tech companies to censor dissent.
He straightly not answering their questions, Dom. I think there's more. Is there more? There's, I think,
one more.
A little more.
Maybe he'll actually answer the question.
Maybe if he was doing his job lobbying the college football playoff system like he should be, according to the former president, just play the Ron on the Kristen Welker on NBC.
How that happens. So I don't use the same rhetoric that he does. I conduct myself in a different way. I think I conduct myself in a way that's more effective as a leader. Part of what you have to do is you have to be strong. You have to deliver big results. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to alienate people for no reason. And I think some of the reasons why he struggled electorally is because it's not even about the policy. It's about some of these other things.
So do you condemn the use of the word vermin? Do you condemn the use of the word vermin then?
I don't use the term, but what I don't do is play the media's game where I'm asked to referee other people. He's responsible for his words. He's responsible for his conduct. I'm responsible for mine.
So condemn his words and run against them. Act like you got a pair of DeSantis. I mean, 5, 6, 7 times she asked the same question. Can you condemn the use of words like vermin?
How hard is it to say that Nazis are bad? You know what I'm saying? Yes, I condemn. I do not.
When your
think
base is Nazi,
is appropriate. It's very simple.
If your base is Nazi embracive, Dom, not so simple. You know what I mean? Not so simple. When your brother is Darth Vader, not so simple.
If your base are Nazi embracive, perhaps you should reconsider your positions and your politics. Man, it is simple. He's making it not simple because he's afraid of losing that base. That's why he's straight up not answering the question.
Now, breaking news in the state of Wisconsin, legislative piece being proposed by Republicans would eliminate the Wisconsin Elections Commission and give all the power to Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski? Question mark? What? I'm not sure if you've thought all the way through this proposal, Republicans. They're counting on Tony Evers to veto, but what if he didn't? Come back. More Devil's Advocates with Pete Schwabba. His new show launches right here on Civic Media Tonight.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you miss any of this fine program, you can listen to podcasts and interviews. Hit up civicmedia.us, click on the shows tab, find the Devil's Advocates, and go to town.
Dominic, Rick Smith stepping back from doing nightly talk radio. So there will not be a Rick Smith show tonight on the Civic Media, but have no fear. We've got a fine, brand new product to roll out this evening. He is Pete Schwabba. And it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, the new product, a little more entertainment-based. Pete, you got a great background in entertainment, comedy, movies. More than Dom and I combined. Dom couldn't even tell you anything about pop culture. How you doing, Pete?
Hey, Pete. I'm well. I also did nails for a while. I want to throw that in there.
You did nails?
Like I could.
Like painted nails?
Sure.
It would broaden your resume significantly. That's Dom's fallback career.
No, I have the perfect resume for hosting a show like Nightlight because it's all my kind of silly information I've picked up over the years. I'm going to talk to some people I met throughout. I mean, I've pretty much been in entertainment my whole adult life, starting when I was in college and I started doing stand-up comedy. So I'm just the guy to host this show that I pitched, I guess.
I am the right guy for my show. You know, be careful.
Finally, someone to indulge me.
Be careful what you wish for, Peter. Pete Schwabba, the host of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I mean, it's serendipity. It was already named Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. What's the chances that we found Pete Schwabba to host the thing?
They still auditioned like 100 people not named Pete Schwabba. But I crushed the competition. They sent everybody home when they saw my name.
Many were willing to change their names. T-Bone, Pete, whatever. Pete, let's talk about the movies. You've made movies start to finish. What's that like?
Well, it's interesting. I've been part of the process on different levels. I've sold screenplays just as a writer when I lived in Los Angeles. And that is pretty much like, hey, thanks for the script. Here's some money. Go away. If we make it, we'll pay you the rest of the money. So you're not really, you're involved because you kind of created the story, but you're not really involved after that, so to speak. And then I made another film called, an indie film called, The Godfather of Green Bay, which I wrote, directed, and I play the lead actor in. And that was invigorating. I mean, it was like start to finish, you're part of the whole process, which can be not a great thing either, because it just takes your blood and guts, you know, but, it's all fun. It's just creative energy, and it's a real gas.
The Godfather of Green Bay. Did you make a billion at the box office? No, you wouldn't be on the radio, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't have a host for this show if I had made billions. You'd be Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and some other person you don't know. But no, we actually opened the week that movie opened. We played a few theaters in Chicago and Wisconsin. We opened against Larry the Cable Guy, and they spent about $50 million on promotions, and we spent about 50 grand. So we did okay, and we have a nice cult following, and Tom Hanks' company loved the movie, and it played well with some critics. But yeah, indie film is a tough racket. It made me kind of run back to the studio system, to be honest with you.
Pete, is the Godfather of Green Bay, is that available streaming right now? Like, if I want to go check it out, where would I find it?
Listen, Tom, I'll come to your house and act it out for you. Yeah. That's how desperate I am to get the... yeah, you can see it on Vudu, Prime, Tubi, I think Apple. It's on all several right. different outlets, so it's right. out there, yeah.
Now, right, cool, man. Pete, the tone of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, the show that launches a little bit later this evening, 8 to 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's going to play out on many of these civic media network stations. But Pete, this will be sort of entertainment tone, information tone. Will we get an update on Taylor Swift attending Packer games? Will that be part of it?
We pretty much have to talk about that, don't we? I mean, no. Hey, it was a star-studded event last night. Taylor Swift, Simone Biles, Tony Shalhoub. Yeah, it was quite it looked like a Laker game there, Wisconsin style. But yeah, I'm going to talk about entertainment, infotainment, if you will. We'll talk about what people are watching. I'm fascinated. Like, you know, I think one time, Crew, you told me your approach is like barstool politics. I'm kind of the same way with entertainment. If you disagree with something I'm saying, text, call. I love a discussion about what we're watching and what's binge-worthy and cringe-worthy. And especially doing it here in Wisconsin, we're going to talk about a lot of Wisconsin cultural stuff and some really funny, quirky Wisconsin stuff too. So it's kind of a unique format, but I'm hoping people respond to it, because there'll be some fun discussion and maybe a few laughs.
Pete Schwab, out of left field, have you seen Jury Duty yet? It's a streaming product. My wife swears by this. I am less enthralled. But, you know, a show like yours, will it tell me whether or not it's worthy of the investment of my time in going like two or however many seasons deep in a show like Jury Duty?
Are you saying your wife watches it, but you don't?
I've been dragged into, you know, she starts watching it in my presence. And then, you know, if I don't leave the room quick enough, I find I'm watching it. Right.
I did think it was very funny. I mean, I love the idea of a hidden camera show and everybody's in on the joke except one guy. And he was a great sport, actually. So I did think it was
very
funny.
We do that here. James Marsden. Don't tell Dom.
Wait, what?
Oh, whoops. He's going to find out eventually. I want Dom on my show as a guest, and I'll ask about his experience.
I don't even know what's going on. Pete, from the content part of it, I mean, lots of streaming services out there, man, right? I got them all saved in a little folder on my desktop, and, you know, there's a lot of content. What's your thought about how it is now versus, you know, back in the day, everything's bundled under cable? Do you think this is the way to go, or is it too much?
I think it's the way to go. My problem is, you know, many people cut the cable years ago and just started streaming. And the idea that you buy Amazon Prime or HBO without ads was really appealing to me. But now they're sneaking in ads. And it's like, all right, I'm already addicted to all their shows. What am I going to do, cancel it? Or am I going to sit through a 60-second ad? So I feel like they kind of are doing something underhanded. But I still prefer streaming. I like going from one show to the next and binge watching. My wife and I binge watched the final episode of the show Bosch, one of our favorite cop shows, all in one night, 8 hours. We got some takeout. Wow. You can't do that. Like, you can't do that with Starsky and Hutch, you know, or Law and Order. So,
what about The Sopranos? You could make it a long weekend, couldn't you?
Oh, man.
My
a
youngest
long, depressing weekend.
Just found The Sopranos. I think it's an excellent show for him to watch. Teaches good family values.
Right. With a few murders along the way. Yeah. That's one of the type of things we'll talk about on my show is like, what did you think of the ending of The Sopranos? Controversial. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. It's just that kind of stuff. Your favorite Christmas movies. Give me a rerun you love that you never watched the original. Just some fun entertainment talk.
Best Christmas.
A lot of Wisconsin talk.
Movie ever, Die Hard. Who are your fine guests tonight, Pete?
I got Bill Leff, who is the host of a national morning show called Tune In With Me on MeTV. And Frank Anderson. Bill is also a stand-up I knew from years ago. He's a very funny guy. And then a guy named Frank Anderson, who has a website called Wisconsinology. And he's got a lot of fun, cool Wisconsin stories. And he's going to tell some Christmas ghost stories tonight on the show.
I'm looking forward to it. Pete Schwabba, host of The Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, 8 to 10 o'clock. Maggie Dawn is next. Then the Paul Revere Show. Then Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. You're going to want to keep it locked, Civic Media.